You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits, go to gamesense.ab.ca.
I'm doing well. I'd do even better if somebody invited me to that party as well for the $21 million give of the lottery giveaway. I joined that party.
Oh, yeah, sure. Why not? You know what? If you have $21 million bucks, I would hope that you would put on a pretty good party. I would like to think you could be an organizer of a good party. Speaking of a party, it's super early on, but just mentally for the Chargers to get over KC and how they played against them. Justin Herbert played great. I know afterwards, like, he was all trying to downplay, but I'm like, dude, like, you've really never played that well against KC. Obviously, a great team, one of the best teams in the NFL. It's got to be something to build on, isn't it?
Well, it is, but the thing is, Justin Herbert's always played well against Cam. Like, if you look at his stats from all three divisional games or opponents, he does pretty well against them. It's usually been the defense that's kind of let them down in the past, or there's been a major drop or something like that. But this was a very good start, just because everybody thinks that Kansas City, they already circled them in as, oh, they're going to win the division automatically. And for the Chargers, that was a big game, because you go down to Brazil, it's you had a very long training camp, because your head coach decided, hey, Hall of Fame game, that means we can start a week and a half earlier than everybody else and have the most training camp practices of everybody else. So I definitely think that was a step in the right direction, because one, you show the whole NFL, hey, we're not messing around, we're going to take that next step forward. And two, it just showed that Justin Herbert, that Greg Roman, who I thought had a masterful game, now has weapons at his disposal where if the run game isn't helping, okay, boom, let's go and let's attack with the passing game. And that's something that they didn't have last year. Even Steve Spagnuolo said, we were crowding the box because we thought they were going to run the ball a lot. And no, they decided to go back and throw it. Well, yeah, that's what happens when you have a $52.5 million quarterback who has a very good arm. So, like you said, very, very good start for them right off the gate, and another huge game tonight against the Raiders.
Looking at the head to tonight's game against the Raiders, you look at the Chargers, and, you know, it's one game and everybody gets super excited. Oh, my God, it's going to be great. Quentin Johnston, great first week, no question. Is Ladd McConkey still the obvious guy, but is Quentin Johnston maybe more of the big home run hitter, and McConkey's more of the, you know, get a lot of the underthrows more frequently? How do you see that playing out this year?
I do kind of see it like that. I mean, if we go back to last year, and I know everybody's kind of surprised by the way Quentin played on last Friday, but last year he was the one that kind of got it going at the beginning of the season. Ladd didn't come on until week 8. If anything, after that Arizona game, a lot of fans were questioning whether Ladd was going to be as good as what everybody thought or not. And then he has that big 100-yard game against the Saints, and that was his kind of coming out party. But Quentin's a playmaker. I mean, he was taken in the first round. Yes, he does have some drops in it. But, yeah, no, Quentin, the one thing I noticed about Quentin on Monday, or on last Friday, I don't know why, Monday's the game, last Friday was the other game. But last Friday, what I noticed is release. When he releases off the line of scrimmage, the Chiefs cornerbacks couldn't touch him when he was they couldn't jam him. They couldn't do any of that because he's so quick off of the line of scrimmage. It looks like that's something he worked on. I spoke to him about it, and he said, yeah, that's something I've been working on all off season. I want to get quick coming out of when the ball snapped, not let them touch me, and then me using my speed to take advantage of it. So, yeah, I would see it more as like that. It seems like that's what they're going to do. Where Herbert really likes finding Ladd is across the middle of the field, him doing in routes or post outs or stuff like that. And then Quentin takes – Ladd takes advantage of the cornerback, or if he's matched up on a linebacker, and he just speeds right past them. So I think and Keenan Allen's kind of the third down threat. Obviously, so is Ladd, but it's like Keenan said, we're all competitors at the end of the day. We all want to win football games. I don't care what my role is. I just want to win football games. And it kind of seems like Ladd and Quentin have all bought into that as well, is that we don't care how many touches we get as long as we win football games.
Fernando Ramirez joining us here on the Jason Greger Show, previewing Monday Night Football between the Chargers and the Raiders. Fernando covers the team for the Sporting Tribune. I want to ask you about the backfield here. And Omarion Hampton last week against the Chiefs got the 15 carries. Najee Harris, a returning back from the eye injury from the firework incident on July 1st. Just the one carry, one reception for Najee Harris. Do you expect a little bit more of a showing from him, more of a split backfield with he and Omarion Hampton tonight?
You know, it's funny. The other thing that I thought Najee did pretty well, and so did Omarion, was pass blocking. I actually thought they both did very well in that game, which obviously helped Justin Herbert out a bunch as well. But, no, I do. I just think the thing is with Najee, they've slowly been bringing him up. And I feel like he's still getting in game shape. I mean, Keenan Allen even told me, I'm still getting in game shape. And I'm like, dude, five catches for 76 yards and a touchdown? He's like, imagine what I could do once, or seven catches, sorry. Imagine what I could do when I'm in game shape. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Najee, same thing. He's just trying to get into game shape. I think you'll see a healthy dosage of Omarion tonight. And Najee, I think, is going to get a little bit more touches, more than he did in Sao Paulo, for sure. But I think they're slowly bringing him up and letting him get going. But also, they want to get Omarion going, just because last week I saw one or two or three opportunities where he was close into breaking a long one. So I definitely think that tonight they could lean heavily on him and Najee, especially because, like I told you, Greg now is able to have that at his disposal where he can, some games is going to be wanting to run the football because that's what's working. Other games are going to have to throw. And I feel like tonight might be a big running day for the Chargers offensively.
Now, just looking at what Joe Alt did last week against Kansas City, I think that the Raiders might be foolish to line Max Crosby up against him, unless he wants that challenge. So I'm thinking it's going to be a lot of Crosby on Trey Pipkins on the right side. What kind of things do you think the Chargers can do to maybe even out that matchup just a little bit? Because we know how good Max Crosby is.
Yeah. No, I definitely think they're going to throw some tight ends his way. Will Disley's probably the best blocking tight end they have. I'm sure they're going to throw Omarion and Najee his way as well. I do agree with you. I really would be very surprised if they threw Max Crosby on Joe Alt for two reasons, obviously. One is the you'd rather have the mismatch for Max, and the mismatch is Trey Pipkins. But I actually thought Trey Pipkins had a strong game last week against Karlaftis. Obviously, Max Crosby is in a different universe than Karlaftis is, but I definitely think that'll help him seeing this guy now this week. So I definitely think Trey will be okay, but again, I think the Chargers are going to go on the safe side and try and use Will Disley and the running backs and even Tyler Conklin to kind of help him. And sometimes they'll even bring in a sixth offensive lineman to kind of help and give different looks like that. But yeah, Joe might be slotted into being the first person to win that offensive line award if he keeps on performing. I mean, last week he had three or four, I think he had five or six snaps against Chris Jones, and Chris wasn't able to do anything against him. So, yeah, and I spoke to his former offensive line coach about 2 weeks ago, and he told me no matter where you put Joe, he is going to shine. And he's just a student of the game. He's going to learn quickly. And he's like, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't win that award, the offensive line, the In the Trenches award, the first of its kind. And he's like, I wouldn't be surprised if Joe didn't win it this year for the Chargers. But, yeah, their offensive line is going to definitely be on a microscope tonight against Max Crosby.
Looking at, and I know it's super early in the year, but if you're the Chargers, you win tonight. You're two full games up on the Chiefs having won the head-to-head matchup. And, you know, home field advantage in the playoffs matters. I know it's only 2 weeks. It's super early in the season. But for a team that's kind of, you know, always kind of been in the rearview mirror of the Chiefs, the chance to get out in front of them kind of two car lengths early on, how important do you think that is just for an organization that's been trying unsuccessfully to pass them?
Well, you haven't won the division since LaDainian Tomlinson was your running back. I mean, that in and of itself is huge. The Chiefs have won this division 9 years in a row. So I definitely think that these, and I said it from the beginning when the schedule first came out, I said these first 3 weeks are must-win games. And I know folks looked at me and they're like, must-win in September? I'm like, yeah. You get off to a 3-0 start in your division against what some people are calling the toughest division in football. You're able to get up to a 3-0 start. That's huge for them, especially because you obviously have some other tough opponents, but it starts with your divisional games. If you can win the division, that's where everything gets started. So I truly think that these 3 weeks are very crucial for them. And we saw what happened in Denver yesterday, a lack of concentration. And obviously we saw what happened with the Chiefs. So, yeah, the Chargers have a very, very good opportunity to jump out. And again, if they win tonight and then next week they beat Denver and everybody else in the division struggling, you start to build that lead that you're going to need, especially in the back end of the season. If you go look at their schedule is very tough at the end. You have the Raiders, you have to go to Denver, you have to go to Kansas City, you have Houston here, you have to go to Dallas, the Philadelphia Eagles come here. So it's not an easy task. So right now you want to gear up as many wins as you can for that back stretch that you know is going to be tough and you're going to be facing a lot of playoff teams.
When you look at the Raiders and what they want to do this year, it's pretty evident they want to run the football. Last week, Ashton Jeddy, 19 carries, despite only averaging 2 yards per carry. How good of a test do you think this is going to be for the Chargers front seven that could be without linebacker Dion Henley?
It's huge for them, especially because you have to let all that extra stuff go out the window. I know it's Raiders, Chargers, it's all that. It's Pete Carroll versus Jim Harbaugh for the first time in years. But I think what they need to do is just concentrate and play football, not get distracted by the little things. The Raiders are a very good coach team. The team that the Chargers saw last year in L.A. and then the team that they saw in Vegas for the final game of the year is not going to be anywhere near what this team is going to be. This team is different. It's aggressive. They have a competent quarterback back there. It's not AOC back there. It's going to be Geno Smith, who we all know it's been talked about over and over again that he likes playing in dome stadiums. So the Chargers are going to have their hands full, and this is going to be a good test for them because I know people won't say it out loud, but the Raiders have a very good they have a plethora of weapons that they could use. Mm-hmm. Brock Bowers, you have the two guys that they drafted, and then obviously Jacoby Myers is very underrated when it comes to his skill set. So they have some playmakers on that team, so the Chargers are going to have to be ready to face Raiders team that is obviously going to test them, and they're feeling good. Tonight's Pete Carroll's 74th birthday. It's the first time that it's their first home game of the year, so that place is going to be very, very, very loud tonight for the Raiders.
Fernando, we really appreciate the rundown. Do you think Bauer's going to play?
I do. Okay. I don't think you can keep a warrior like that down. I was when I spoke to some of my Raider beat reporter friends, they basically told me that they'd be very surprised. That they asked him, "Hey, how do you feel?" "Oh, I feel fine." "So, like, did you hurt yourself?" "I didn't even know I hurt myself. I just felt something tingling, and I came out." And they were like, "Hey, we're going to keep you out." So it seems like he didn't see that much of a problem in it. So I'd be surprised if he didn't play.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
Of course. You guys have a good one and have a good rest of your week. And let me know if that $21 million party, you guys ever throw it. Let me know. I'll go out there for that.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man. We appreciate it.